If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I would say my gut floor is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Seeing I haven't been sick for years.
You do. You probably have really good gut.
That's what we should. Yeah. We should have a supplement line. Oh, Doug's shits.
Yeah. I almost.
the fountain of youth from Doug's ass.
I almost. Yeah. See, I always have.
I want to eat Doug's shit.
I might actually eat that. Yeah. Yeah. What? Fuck, if yeah. I could get that young.
I do. If there's anyone's shit I'm going to eat, I'm going to eat his shit.
Yeah. Sure.
He's Doug got the best gut. Your tummy's all fucked up. I don't want none of your shit.
We'll get some weird like strain in there.
Then Justin's probably next. I think Doug and then me, even though I get sick, though.
No, because, okay, so.
I get those kind of dumps that stick.
Yeah.
You
got to be careful.
We see what you do in there.
You get sick often. I have gut issues. We all know this.
Yeah, you have tummy issues.
Justin causes the car chase skid marks down the toilet every time. Yeah. But Doug doesn't even smell, I don't think.
Nah, not at all.
No, it doesn't even smell. That's a healthy gut butt.
Yeah, exactly. Gut butt.
So Adam wants to eat it. Here's what we should do. Let's set up an episode where Adam eats your poop, and then we'll look at his health. And how it responds to it.
This sounds like a real shitty idea, if you ask me.
just to be fair,
waka waka.
We'll only do it if the fans want it. Let's just do this.
Stupid.
Everybody hashtag
Adam eat Doug's poop.
We probably get the best response ever for that. I'd be so mad.
Yeah. It goes viral.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. If that shit goes viral, bro, you have to do
it. Yeah, you'll have to.
Of course it will. You remember
Dude,
when
we'll
they
put it in capsule form?
You remember when they did that?
No, you got to do it straight,
Two girls
bro.
In a cup.
Straight.
You remember that? That was like one of the biggest YouTube viral videos ever, right?
Oh. Little do we know how healthy that was.
Did you guys watch that video?
No, I could never watch it.
I watched part of it.
What do you mean you couldn't watch it?
I turned it on, and then before it happened, I was like, I can't watch this.
Dude.
I blame Tosh.0, dude. That show. Everybody was watching it, and I was like, "What? What is all this hype about?" And I started watching it, and literally like threw up in my mouth.
Well, I want to know, like, what did they do to the girls to make them like want to do that? You know, like we're gonna give you. They did it for drugs. That's what it was.
It had to be. Something,
had to be something,
something
like
crazy.
Yeah. Like, hey, meth head. Would you like more meth?
Listen, this is what you got to do.
This is what we're gonna do now on the video. You're gonna poop. On
and
each
it,
other,
yeah,
and eat it.
And it was like this much, weird consistency.
You never saw
I won't
it?
Go into detail.
You never saw it, Doug?
No, I did not.
Oh, do you even know what we're talking about then, Doug?
No.
Oh, shit, I thought you did.
What? It was a horrible discussion.
You should get
video.
On your phone
it
right now like... and YouTube Two Girls in a Cup.
No, no, it's not on YouTube.
It's not anymore?
No, it was never on YouTube.
Yes, it was.
What's the kind of ice cream called that you get at McDonald's?
Whoa.
Soft serve.
What makes you
it was
think
like
it wasn't?
Soft serve.
YouTube, YouTube never. Never, maybe in the like first year of their existence, but YouTube never posts for the longest time now any kind of nudity. Or as a matter of fact, if I post a video that's kind of somewhat sexy or violent, it'll get tagged, and then you have to be 18 or older. But even the 18 or older video like category, they won't have porn. They won't show. They're definitely not going to show Two Girls, One Cup.
No, that was on.
This is not one of these things I do want to argue with you because I know you've scoured the fucking all the channels for this stuff.
Right? I know what's on YouTube, bro.
Yeah, I know you.
We got it on the list, Sal. Since we watched it, we're on a list.
I'll send you the website where you can find all the poop videos.
Wait. So I know, I saw it. Like it's.
It's on some. It was on some site.
It was on a site.
It was on some site. Yeah.
And it was like
you probably searched it and then you clicked.
Oh,
it
you know why? So check
thing.
This. This is what's going on, Adam. You can watch videos on internet that don't have to be on YouTube.
Yes. This is true.
Yeah. Did you know that?
Like on a website, you can watch a video.
Yeah, there's video.
I'm going to punch you in your dick and just say it. I'm going to look right now because now you have me.
Are you really? Are you researching?
Well, I'm not going to watch it, but I'm going to. Yes, I just want to see Two Girls, One Cup comes up right away on YouTube.
I kind of want you to watch it so we can watch your reaction.
On YouTube, it's going to be a bunch of people's reactions or it's going to be people using that title to get clicks or whatever, but it's not.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's not the video.
Every once in a while, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
This is
sometimes.
Yeah. Boy, there's a lot of sick shit that pops up when you do that.
Like what?
There's a lot of sick people out there.
There are.
Bunch of sick fucks.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Who are these sick bastards looking at these videos?
I know. Who are these?
Disgusting.
Hey, did you guys, did you hear about, what's her face? Maria Sharapova, the tennis player?
Yeah.
Did you hear the band that?
Yeah, she got busted
for. What? It was called. I wasn't even.
Meldonium or something
like
that?
Yeah, Meldonium. Like a blood.
What
like,
is that?
It's like almost like blood doping.
Let me double check, make sure I'm not fucking it up.
Well, I read up on it.
Yeah, it's called Meldonium. Doesn't that sound like, so the trade name is Mildronate. Doesn't it sound like a drug that a villain in a superhero movie would make? You know what I mean?
Here is the Meldonium.
Yeah, well, it's, exactly.
It's only been around since the '70s. It sounded like just a blood thinner, and it helps promote blood flow to your muscles. So to me, I don't understand.
I'm not quite sure how it works.
I've never heard of it until this situation.
It improves blood flow and oxygen. Your ability to uptake oxygen in your blood, and they made it, and who used it
kind of like an NO2 type of deal.
NO2 supplements won't do that. See, here's the thing. Like, if you take a nitric oxide booster like Viagra, Cialis, or...
Is it Cialis or Cialis?
Cialis, I don't know. Cialis. We'll take samples, send them to MindPump Media. If you take those,
ahead of us.
What those do is those open the blood vessels, but they don't improve necessarily oxygen uptake and stuff like that. In some situations, they can. They've done some studies to show that if you took Viagra and then exercised at high altitudes, you might get an exercise boost. Well, Meldonium works a little differently, and I'm not quite sure how it works, but it has been shown to improve athletic performance in athletes, and it was popularized by the Soviets. The Soviets prescribed it to their soldiers when they were in the Afghanistan, when the Soviets were occupying Afghanistan, and they were constantly at war with them. And because of the high mountainous regions, they would give their soldiers Meldonium, and it would help them, you know, perform.
Dude, Meldonium, it sounds like something Gargamel would have concocted in his like vat. You know, he's like, I could just see that.
What was his cat's name?
Azrael.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that's basically it. So she was taking this, and apparently it was for some medical reason.
Yeah, I forgot. I read what did it say? It's normally prescribed for. God, what did it say? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Do you remember reading it?
Let's wiki it up. It's, let's see, medical use. It's used for coronary artery disease, things like ischemia, where you get too little blood flow to the organs of the body. It expands the arteries, increases blood flow, as well as flow of oxygen throughout the body. So things like angina, you know, in the heart. Yeah. She took it to help her angina.
Not mangina.
Yeah. Hey, babe.
You don't want it.
I read this article. Take this Meldonium and rub it on your vagina.
Rub it on your angina, girl.
So, but anyway, it improves athletic performance. She got busted with it, and now she's banned.
How much?
3 years.
How? 2 years. How much? How much can that really, could that even help? That just sounds...
You know how it is, dude.
Splitting hairs here.
Yeah, because they'll ban almost anything. You know, if they're constantly trying to, you know, keep the playing field level and keep it safe, I think, is what they would tell you. But it's never level. Right. You know what I mean? It's never really level anyway. I don't know. I mean, how are they gonna test, like when people start changing their gene expression and shit like that.
Well, that's what's going to get crazy. Yeah. That's why I wonder. That's why I think right now with all like anabolics and all the things that you can take that are performance enhancers, I feel like that sports need to find, instead of banning, there should be some sort of like testing.
Extreme league.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
So
everything is legal.
So like
that'd be awesome.
Well, let's use something that's more widely talked about, like testosterone, right? In sports. And we already know that naturally different men can have significantly different, and women too, higher levels of testosterone naturally. And when, let's just say, you know, the numbers are what, 300 to 1100 is the free range, then what would be considered normal levels.
For a man.
Yeah. But there are some guys that are just genetic freaks that have like 1300, 1500 range, you know, free test, which is abnormally high compared to the average person. So who is really more at advantage? That guy who's doing that, or the guy who's got, you know, naturally low testosterone levels is on a hormone replacement therapy. And let's pretend that that guy is taking a very, very mild dose just to keep him up in that range, up in the normal range. But then there's a guy who's naturally already higher. Like,
that's a good question.
Although, let's be real, that just so people know, like, I think 50 milligrams of testosterone is equivalent to like 1,500 free tests or something like that. So you'd have to be taking...
It would be a low dose.
Yeah, it'd be extremely low dose.
It'd probably be a cream.
But the exactly. But yeah. The point is, I mean, that could exist, right? That could exist where
it could. All things have to be equal here, because you could have someone whose testosterone levels are 400, but they have superior genes in other categories. And you have someone with high testosterone who has, you know, horrible, you know, genes for that particular sport. And the higher testosterone is not going to do much for you. I know guys that have bad. I've known many, many people who've taken very high doses of anabolic steroids or testosterone. So I know their testosterone levels are, you know, 50 times higher than mine. And I could wipe the floor with them in the gym, both in our workouts and the way we look. It's only one factor, you know what I mean, that you're looking at when you're looking at the total factors that influence. But if all things being equal, I would think that the synthetic testosterone user would have an advantage, because they may not experience the normal fluctuations in testosterone that as someone else may. For example, if you take someone who has high testosterone and put them under a lot of stress, their natural testosterone levels will drop. If someone is taking testosterone and they're under a lot of stress, their testosterone levels won't drop because they're taking it. Mm-hmm. So their body's not producing it, so it doesn't get affected by, you know, stress levels.
It doesn't fluctuate as much.
It doesn't fluctuate. This is why when the UFC originally said it was okay for...
HRT.
Hormone replacement therapy. And they're like, no, that's legal. That's fine. It's still an advantage for that reason alone. And then there's also this reason. In the off season, a lot of these athletes will take high doses of steroids, and then when it's time to test, they'll go off of them and then just go on maintenance levels. And they never experience the major dip that, like, you know, let's say if I were to take a shit ton of steroids and then go off for testing, I wouldn't go back down to baseline. I'd experience a few months of low. What I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's an advantage either way.
You know what, though?
It's a hard subject for me. It's like, what we're doing is, like, we're trying to rationalize cheating, you know, on different levels and different forms of it. And I don't really think you can regulate a lot of it. You know, it's too tough. It's too tough because at any level, you're going to find something that, you know, the right type of person will find a way around the system. And so there's always the shuffling of one party, you know, over the other. They're trying to, you know, manage and control while the other one's trying to press and, you know, find loopholes. And, you know, like, everybody wants a level playing field, but that's, like, damn near impossible, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this just points to Justin's level of integrity is, like, ridiculous. He's the guy that everybody else could be cheating. Everybody else could be doing something. And it's basically considered normal, and Justin would refuse to. And that just speaks, the way you're talking about it reflects that. But there's two things here when you look at this drug testing that, for me, is super inconsistent. Number one, they're like, this is for the safety of the athletes, right? Let me explain something to you. If you're a professional football player, the least dangerous thing you do for your sport is take steroids.
Yeah.
Like, the most dangerous thing you do is play football. Like, if they're that's it. Yeah. Literally.
Don't mind all the head trauma.
100% the most dangerous thing that those athletes are doing is playing football. If it was about the athletes' safety, they wouldn't play football, or they'd say no more tackling.
Oh, and that goes the same thing with MMA, too. Yep.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not really for the athletes, it's because there's a social stigma. It's also why the punishment for getting caught is hilarious, because they know if they caught so-and-so taking steroids and banned him for life, first offense, you know, right off the bat, they'd lose a shit ton of money. Nobody wants to watch, you know, fans will be pissed off. And would fans really want to watch sports that were really 100% natural?
See, there's the other, you know, dilemma. It's like, as a fan, like, you want to see, like, baseball, for instance, like, it had a major fall off. Like, nobody wanted to watch baseball for a while. And then all of a sudden, you have Mark McGwire and, you know,
Sammy Sosa.
Man, that was, like, fantastic to watch. I loved watching them rock. Yeah,
brought baseball back, dude.
Dude, it was so fun to watch. And then it's like, you know, no shit, they're on steroids, you know? Like, it's just, of course. But did I care? I mean, sorry, I didn't care. You
know? I still think it's cool to look at bodybuilders, like pro bodybuilders. I think they're awesome to watch. Yeah. Not because I think I'm ever going to look like them, But it's
extreme. It's
super extreme.
Crazy. Like, you kind of want to see how far we can press the boundaries. You know?
It's very fascinating to me. And I know I'm saying, like, okay, we should take these parameters off or those restrictions off, because especially with sports, because to me, you can't push, you know, you shouldn't say you can't. It would not be advantageous for you to push the limits too far because, and I don't remember which one of you two brought this up, but you made a very good point one time about, okay, who would be stronger? The guy who is naturally 210 pounds and that's his fighting weight and he's, you know, 3% or 5% body fat, 210 pounds, or the guy who's normally 175 or 180 pounds, he took steroids to be big enough to fight at the 210, who's at a more of an advantage.
Oh yeah.
And the guy who's naturally at 210 is at a much, yeah. I mean, his bone structure, his ligaments, joints,
it's
everything
supported for that.
Yeah, it was naturally built for that. So his body is going to work more efficiently with his mass than the guy who is artificially put 30, 40 pounds on. So I think if, and the same thing would go, that would translate into football, tennis, basketball, all these other sports. If you think that if we took restrictions off, just said, you know, if you're going to take shit, you're going to take shit, whatever, to each their own. And the guys would be like, oh my God, then everybody would be a chemistry set and taking tons and tons and tons. Well, I don't really think so because if you started,
yeah, it would get in the way.
You started, exactly. You start to look like a bodybuilder. Yeah. LeBron James would start to look like a, you know, Mr. Olympia. And he's not going to be at that. He's not going to be moving on the basketball court very well, looking at being 290 pounds. Right?
I think you're already seeing what you know what it is doing. Right?
I agree.
It's not happening.
That's what I'm saying.
That is the body type that you could achieve. You know, on anabolics, on like perfect training, on you know like every technique possible that's going to give you an advantage. Like they're already doing that.
It's such a good point. Yeah. And then that's what I'm saying is, and no matter what we ban. You know, that there's a huge, huge black market business in figuring out what isn't banned already and what's working, or how do we change the compound just slightly to where it passed the test. Mm-hmm. And I really think that the black market's two steps ahead of the people that are.
Of course. They only know how to test what they eventually find. Like, oh, shit, here's this new chemical. Somebody leaked it out and said that athletes are using it. Now we'll start testing for it. They don't know to test for things that they don't know, you know, that are out there. It's a total cat and mouse game, and the mouse is constantly ahead of the game, constantly winning. Yeah,
I feel like the mouse is much smarter than the cat in
way
this situation.
Smarter. Yeah. Way smarter. Yeah. I mean, it's the one place where I really cringe, where I see anabolic steroid use, is with women, and I'll tell you why. And it's not a sexist thing. It's because the effects of these hormones on the female body are so much more.
It changes the chemistry, right?
Well, it changes the chemistry, but I mean, if a woman goes to the doctor and wants a sex change, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They give her male hormones. It would be the equivalent of a man taking estrogen. You are, you're not just making yourself more of what you are. You're changing who you are on kind of a different level. And the side effects that happen to women are really kind of crazy. I mean, you know, a guy will, you know, his balls will shrink, which they come back after you go off. He might lose more of his hair, might get some acne. You know, that's pretty much it. You know, a woman's clitoris will grow because she's trying to grow a dick. This is literally what happens. The clitoris is the part of the female anatomy that's the homogenous to the male. She will grow her voice.
Bigger words from you.
I did right there. Let's just call it how it is, bro.
The phallus.
Her voice will lower because, again, her body's becoming male.
P.S. This is not sexy.
No, forget about sexy. It's just these are permanent. Like your voice lowers. Doesn't go back when you go off. Your facial hair, that doesn't go away. Now you got fucking whiskers coming out of your face. Mm. And it really messes with the female body because the female body's so sensitive to male hormones. So when I see women wanting a little extra edge from anabolics, and especially if these women aren't like going to make a shit ton of money from it, or, mm-hmm. you know, there's really no reward on the other end except for maybe, you know,
plus there's such
build a little muscle or whatever.
Huge misconception with how much it really, truly helps. This is the part that, and when you talk about females, I have the same, I just recently had somebody reach out to me that's a female that was, you know, asking me openly about an anabolic stack that she was considering doing. And, you know, my first question right away was, you know, are you a competitor? Are you getting ready to compete? Because to me, as a woman, that this is the only reason why I would even think you would possibly even consider that is you are getting up there to compete at a very, very high level. You know that you're going to be competing against other girls that may possibly be doing the same thing, and you're that competitive and you want to win. So I get it. I understand. And I think it's a very fair question to ask. But when you're not even sure if you're going to compete and you're just doing it because you want it to help you get more shredded or whatever, that to me is like, oh, that's all bad. You want to see what you can do naturally with your body and push yourself to that limit of getting as shredded as you possibly can and assess your physique before you ever would want to introduce these things like clenbuterol and Winstrol and Primo and all these things that the women typically, Anavar, that they lean towards because it's a milder dose of, you know, hormones. So these type of drugs, women ask about because of that, because there are less side effects in comparison to your harsher stuff like your testosterones and things like Sal was kind of mentioning. But it's like, if you've never disciplined yourself nutritionally and training consistently to get yourself down to, you know, for a female, whatever, 10% body fat, which would be extremely lean, and see what your physique looks like all naturally, I am not a fan at all of letting a woman introduce that into her routine whatsoever, because it's not what you think it is. It's not like this, you take it and that's what, and if you do, because let's be honest, it is going to give you an edge. And if you kind of train and diet, then this is the best you've ever trained and diet, and then this time around you've added, you know, these things into your routine. And of course you're going to get a little bit better than you've ever seen before. So then in your head, you're going to correlate like, you know, if I ever want to be that ripped or get that shredded or let that lean and fit, that, you know, that was why.
Yeah, you need to go through that same stack sequence.
Yes. And this is what I see in men's physique like crazy is, you know, all these guys are always talking about what stack or what steroid they're using. And I hear all these like, and I'm going like, what the fuck are we doing taking all this stuff when it's men's physique? You don't even need to be that big. You're not supposed to be that big. I was told, my second show was told I was too big. So it's like, you don't need to take very much hormones to put the size on you need to as a man. But everybody in their head, they think that they hear, oh, well, yeah, everybody in men's physique or everybody in bodybuilding or in women's bikini and stuff does it. So in their head, they just think, oh, if you want to be that lean, to look like that, you got to take these things. But in reality, you'd be surprised if you just got super shredded naturally what you would look like.
Yeah, I think we need to...
Sal's a perfect example. Just recently, somebody... This was great. We didn't talk about this. Somebody recently got on and they left us an email. And they were talking about they had just found us from Mind Pump. And they were kind of giving us like... it was after our talk over in Sacramento. And, they said they were, oh, I was really excited to listen to you guys talk. And I really liked what you guys had to say. And so I've been listening to podcasts and I got on the website, and I got to say, I was a little disappointed though. The very first picture I see is of a steroided out guy on a muscle building program. And right away I started dying laughing.
Smile like, got really big.
Yeah, right? I know. It's a huge compliment for Sal, that's awesome that people think that he's on steroids in that picture. But that is an example of what happens when you get fucking shredded.
Yeah.
Every time,
you know how much I weighed in that picture?
Probably like 180 something.
Yeah, I was like 180, I think 182, right? 183 pounds, 6 foot. So I wasn't a big fucking dude. I guarantee you a good percentage of the dudes listening right now are heavier and bigger than that.
Yeah.
But just because I was shredded, I took a good picture, I got a good pump, and it looked that way.
Diet, man. That is your diet and your training and program design to get you to look that lean. And it's amazing what you can do to the body naturally to look that way. Hey, like I said, I'm not someone to knock anabolics whatsoever. You're trying to get your, especially if you're competing and especially if you're a male. But a female who wants to get lean and get ripped, like that shit is, there's no need for it.
No, and you know, there's also water retention that comes from it. Yeah, women are very sensitive too, so you'll end up getting more bloat. But we got to look at, like, consider this. The vast majority of people that use these substances, these drugs, don't compete. It's a fact. Mm-hmm. Most people that use these things just do them themselves. And what is the root? What is the root reason that most people take black market hormones or, you know, compounds that are banned, like clenbuterol and stuff like that? What is the root reason they all use that? And it all goes back to they have body image issues,
mm-hmm.
and there's issues with their own self-confidence. I'm going to take this whatever, and it's going to make me happy. Yeah. It's going to make me happy with myself.
Well, it's the pill form, you know, mentality, like everything that's like a fixer. You know, yeah. Like it's a deflection of, like, they don't want to internalize the process. Like, they want to use, like, an external substance to provide what's necessary for them to feel happy.
No, I'm going to speak from 100%, you know, personal experience. This is my own story. Yes, I'm natural. I don't take any exogenous hormones, but I wasn't always natural. I've definitely done my experimentation in my younger years. You know, I'm very open about how I had body image issues. Of course, as a young male in the fitness world, you don't know that's what it is. You just want to get bigger, and you don't feel happy because you're skinny or you're not as big as the next guy. The very last time I used anything that would even classify as a steroid would be, you know, when they used to sell them over the counter. For a while there, you could buy over the counter, you know, one testosterone, for example, was one of them, and it was legal because it was some weird loophole. But it was a designer steroid. There's no doubt about it. It wasn't a pro hormone. It didn't have to convert. It was anabolic all by itself. And I think the last time I used that was probably maybe 10 years ago. But it was all rooted in insecurity and not feeling adequate, wanting to feel happy from them. And here's what I got from them. I got none of that. Did I get bigger and stronger? Definitely. You take them and you gain 10 pounds. Boom. I'm stronger in the gym. Go off of them. Boom. Lost 10 pounds. Boom. You know, lost my strength in the gym. And so you're never happy. Even if I were to keep the gains permanently, it wasn't treating the root reason as to why I was using them. And like Adam was saying, I did myself a huge disservice because I did not give myself the time to really master and learn and listen to my body, because it was constantly being, the signals were being, muddied with, these artificial signals that I was taking. So I had no idea that my workout was not nearly as effective as it could be. I had no idea that my diet was not nearly as effective as it could be. I didn't figure that out until I went off anything that was even remotely hormonal and started to really learn my body through exercise and through nutrition and what really makes it respond and what doesn't make it respond. And I can say with full confidence today, older, at an older age, out of my prime, I'm stronger in many lifts and I look better than I did back then because I'm doing those things, like Adam was saying, that have a lot of impact. And really, it's about learning my body. Now, of course, if I added those things on now, I'd surpass by far what I did in the past. But for what? You know what I'm saying? For what? I get it, why some people want to take it, why other people, why people want to, mess with those things. But really look at the root of it. It's not going to give you what you want. And I think at the end of the day, you think you want that extra 5 to 10 to 15 pounds of muscle, and you think you want to drop 2 or 3% body fat. But why? Ask yourself why. Why do I want 10 more pounds of muscle? I don't compete. I'm not, I don't need that 10 pounds of extra muscle for anything else. What is it that I need it for? Oh, because I think it's going to make me feel better about myself. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? You could do that right now. You don't need the extra 10 pounds, and that 10 pounds ain't going to give it to you anyway. So I just wanted to be clear with that, because I think people who are listening right now, a lot of them who use them don't compete, and that they're using them for the same reasons that I, might have messed with them, and that was because they just didn't feel
well.
They didn't feel good about themselves.
It's the same kind of stance that we have with supplements. It's like, not really going to the real source, like seeing what kind of progress you can get just eating whole natural foods. Yeah. Like we want to get things that accelerate the process, and we feel like we're behind in some kind of race, and we're trying to voice the fact that this isn't a race, and that's the hardest thing to get across to your average person, because everything with marketing is that it is a race. Like, this person is getting it this quickly. This person is getting to this crazy, degree of their body, what it could look like, and how shredded they are. And, nobody's voicing the fact of, like, experiencing the process and enjoying all these changes as they come, and focusing on each one of these particular aspects of training and the benefits, like, you know, just, you know, getting a little bit more endurance, getting stronger in this type of a lift, you know, having more energy, waking up feeling like amazing. You know, that's not the kind of shit that people are going to market.
Well, you know, the very first commercial, it wasn't really a commercial, it was kind of an infomercial, I guess, for the original MAPS program, MAPS Anabolic, I said on there, training, if you follow MAPS,
it's like taking a low dose of steroids.
It's comparable to taking a low dose of anabolic steroids.
Really?
I was speaking from personal experience. I was not using, I wasn't throwing out fucking words to, you know, so people will click on my thing. I wasn't bullshitting like every other before and after, and this is the most anabolic feeling you'll ever get in your life. I literally, when I really started to figure out how to train my body properly, it reminded me of when I would take some of these over-the-counter designer steroids, which I said, I haven't taken for, I don't even know, probably more like 15 years. But my point is, I remember doing it and thinking to myself, like, oh shit, this feels like when I would take, you know, one testosterone or whatever they, you know, Master Draw, I think one of them was called. This is what it feels like. And it's basically like a low dose of steroids. And that's why I put it on there. And some people gave me a little heat about that. Like, oh, you're trying to say this is like steroids. Like, no, but it feels to me from personal experience like when I would take some of these designer over-the-counter steroids, like those are the kind of results I got where I'd go to the gym and I'm like, holy shit, I'm getting stronger and I'm recovering really fast and my muscles are building. But if I never stopped fooling with those things, I would have never figured out, you know, some of the programming, you know, concepts that we have now in MAPS.
Well, the point is that there's cardio, weight training, nutrition, design, how you train, you know, program design. There's this order of operation of things that will change your body more than anything else. And I think for me, so I love hearing you because you have a different take on it. For me, I'm the guy who's like, you know, I'm all for it, whatever. If you want to take some shit, take some shit. And who am I to say, yeah, you don't want 20 extra pounds of muscle. And if you want it, fuck it. You want it, whatever. My thing is, and why I'm so adamant about talking about it like this is that I was fooled. I was, you know, under the impression, like I think majority of people are, which is, that's what I needed to do to get to that next level of size. So when I did, I didn't get the results that I expected. I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed that, you know, I was already a trainer. So I felt like I was training good and hard and, you know, I ate pretty good in my eyes, which by then, you know, back then was when I'm eating Hot Pockets and shit like that, thinking like that I'm getting what I need for my body. Right.
Cause I had the macros.
Yeah, no, exactly. Cause my perception of good nutrition was totally different. And same thing goes with program design. I was training hard. So my impression of good training would be intensity. So a lot of the fallacies we talk about on this show, I was like that. And which is why I think we're so passionate when we talk about things like this. And for me, steroids, you know, as Sal comes from a different angle and what he talks about, I'm like, don't be fucking fooled. You know, don't be fooled that you're going to take it and you're going to wake up and look like one of those men's physique guys. You know, don't be fooled that taking shit is the answer. And that's what is missing from your routine. If you can't, and this is all I wish people would do this for yourself. I'm not saying don't take anything. You want to take some, by all means, do your research, figure it out, you know, do your thing. Okay. But before you do this for yourself, challenge yourself to get down to a body fat percentage. So a woman somewhere down to the, you know, 10% body fat range for a guy, sub 5%. Discipline to do it naturally first. Do that first and assess your body. Prove to yourself you can do that through, which everybody easily can do. Not easily, you know, but it's simply can do that by eating correctly, training correctly, and look at your body and prove to yourself you have the discipline to do that. If you're not able to do that and you want to take a steroid to help you get there, you still won't get there. Mm-hmm. You still won't get to that goal. I don't care how much steroids you take. It doesn't work that way because your nutrition and your program design is still fucked up.
Yeah.
The anabolics is not the answer.
You're just going to look like a blob.
Yes. You'll add muscle.
Yeah.
You will. You'll put some size on you, but then you'll still have just as much fat. You won't look
I see this a lot, you by see, the way. Yeah.
The bloated
blob.
If what I'm saying wasn't true, literally, I would go, and you guys correct me if you think I'm wrong, I would be willing to say that 60% of our gym use, regular Joe Blows going to the gym, are either running anabolics or have tried anabolics inside the gym.
Mm-hmm.
literally that much. I believe that
it depends on the gym,
especially
but
in golds.
Yeah, yeah. You go to a gold. A good percentage have tried them at least.
Yes, definitely. And so you know, and if they were that magical, then everybody would be walking around looking like a cover of a magazine, and they don't. You know,
if they were that effective, if they were literally that effective, where you could take them and then look like. You know, you could walk on a stage.
We would sell them.
Everybody. No, I mean, way more people would use them. Yeah, we would sell. Way more people would use them. You know?
Right. No, it's true. Very, very. And that's, to me, that's all I want to get across to people is, you know, do not think that's what it is. And I no longer take any supplements right now, but I used to treat, that's how I used to treat my supplements. I used to tell myself, okay, I'm not even going to spend the extra money on this thing or put anything else in my body until I'm dialed everywhere else. And then if I feel like I want the extra edge or I need the extra edge for whatever reason, okay, well then I'll introduce some of that. Otherwise, you're totally wasting your money and you're really doing it ass backwards. Prove to yourself, take your body to its natural limits. And then if you really feel that you need another 20 pounds of muscle on your body or you want it, then that's where I'm different than Sal. By all means. I mean, if you want that, then...
Well, I mean, I'll say this. Look, I firmly believe that you own your own body. Mm-hmm. Do with it as you wish. Just, you know, I would recommend you be smart about it, but it's your body. I don't give a shit. You want to hurt yourself? You want to make yourself better? You want to make yourself worse? As long as you hurt nobody else, as long as you're not forcing it upon anyone else, I don't think anybody should stop you. I think it's your body. Do what you want. I can have my opinion on it. You can't stop that, but I ain't going to stop you. But you got to consider this too. And I want to say this because we might have some impressionable people listening. Anabolic steroids are black market. If you buy them, you're not buying them in any kind of a market that has no regulation. But besides that, there's really no, there isn't even a really good, strong free market regulation in the sense that this, you could get completely ripped off. So much of steroids is mental that you could give a 17-year-old kid, here's some expensive Trenbolone. You know, which is an expensive steroid. And I could put in 100 milligrams of testosterone. He could think he's taking 300 milligrams of Trenbolone. He's going to feel something, but he's not going to know I'm ripping him the fuck off. He also not going to know if it's clean. He's not going to know where it was made, where it came from. I mean, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, a lot of the black market steroids were veterinary. Now, veterinary is probably super expensive. Even that's probably hard to get. Now people are buying
being somebody who was, 22, 23 years old when I was first introduced to anabolics, back then you used to get it shipped, overseas and it would, and we used to have the anabolic Bible. You could go back and you could look and it'd say, this is a, pharmaceutical steroid with that. Now, I don't think I've seen a pharmaceutical steroid in probably 10 years.
No, it's
everything
it's,
is made.
They're buying
someone's
bulk,
bathtub at
exactly.
home.
Exactly. They're buying bulk chemicals from China and they're literally making it, weighing themselves and making it and putting it in these syringes and then labeling it and saying this has 200 milligrams of testosterone per cc or, 100 milligrams or whatever. You have no fucking idea. You have no idea what's in there, how clean it is. You're taking it, you're putting it in your syringe, and you are deep injecting that into your muscle. So these are big risks that you're playing with. So I just weigh all that shit out. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing it just because you go to the gym and you want to gain 10 pounds of muscle, Adam throws 20 pounds of lean muscle around like that's actually going to happen for most of you. It's not. Most of you could take steroids, and you're not going to gain 20 pounds of lean muscle. Most of you will gain 15 pounds and half of it will be shit and the other half will be muscle. You'll gain lots of water and bloat and other stuff. So honestly, from my viewpoint, I just don't think it's worth it. The guys that I do know that take, anabolics on a regular basis, they've been in the industry so long that they have the right connections. They know what's going on. They know what they're doing. The average person, like, where are you going to go? You're going to go ask the big guy in the gym? You really trust that fucker to give you good shit? He's probably going to say
that was my mistake.
He's not shysty at all.
I had a bodybuilder gave me my very first dose of anabolics, and, I was 20-something years old. I didn't know any better. He looked awesome. So, he must know what he's doing, right? And had him put me on a stack that was, now I look back and go like, what the fuck was I thinking doing that big of a
probably
stack?
Probably shut you down permanently.
Oh, it totally, that's why I have to do HRT because of the fact that my hormonal levels have never been the same of what it was when I was 20 something years old. And it sucks because I know going into that, I was just like, Sal, you know, I always tease Sal, but man, I was the same way. It's like the wind blows and I'm excited. So, you know, it wasn't until I experienced that and realized, holy shit, like these idiots out there, like, are getting bamboozled all the time by people. And the guy who sold it to me, no one, of course he wanted to sell me because he made more money off of me. Mm-hmm. Made more money by giving me $1,000 stack worth of stuff, not because I needed all those compounds in me. Like literally that was, I could have done a tenth of what he gave me and would have seen just as good of a result and probably not had the adverse effects. Not to mention, most of them don't have, they've got all the oils because they can make that really quick, but it's harder for them to get the orals that are for your PCT. So afterwards, to balance your hormonal levels out. And a lot of young guys like myself didn't know any better, got involved in that stuff, and then found out like later
on. Plus PCT is like post cycle therapy is a protocol you take to help your body come back to its normal state when you go off of all these, you know, all these hormones. And for a kid, it's like, you know, I want a fucking super fast drag racer. I could give a shit about brakes. Like, I don't need brakes. Fuck it. I want to get as fast as possible. That's what you're thinking about getting it.
You're right. You're
the guy's
right.
Like, hey, do you want parachute? Yeah, do you want anything for post-cycle therapy? No, I'll spend that extra money on more shit that's going to make me bigger.
Very true.
Not realizing that the post-cycle therapy is more important than the shit that you're going on.
So true.
Look, of all the people in the world that you probably shouldn't trust, it's a drug dealer in the black market. Like, that's the last person you should be like, I'm going to trust what you say. That's not really a trustworthy person.
Hey, I got you over here.
Trust me, this is exact. No.
I know what's best for you.
It's totally clean. Don't worry, you won't get an infection. Dude, I had a buddy who had a fucking chunk of his ass cheek removed surgically.
Yeah, I've heard her horror stories. That's
because it got infected.
That's why I look like. I always tell myself, like, you know what? Because I'm bitter about that story because I know I've mentioned that story more than once of me taking a huge stack before. But I'm like, it could be worse. I know guys that have had way worse situations. I mean, so what? My hormonal levels are pretty shit forever unless I take anything. But everybody, I've heard some nasty stories of guys that have been fucked up of taking something that's, like I said that you. Somebody made in their bathtub, man. And I know we probably lost like half of our listeners during this show because maybe anabolics or something you don't even care about or pay attention, but there is a good majority of people. I feel like I've been getting a lot of inboxes, a lot of questions about that. I feel like it's a topic that too many people are afraid to discuss.
It's taboo and it shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't be. It should be discussed and talked about. And I think that's the problem with it. There's this mystique about it that people think it's so amazing and it's really not as mystical and magical as you think it is.
No, here's what you do. You want really good results. This is what you do. Very simple, okay, for most of you listening. It's going to work best for most of you guys listening right now. Don't do a body part split. Take your body, train it 3 days a week, full body. Do the total volume the same as you did it before. So break up your sets amongst those three workouts. Focus on your compound lifts. Focus on your barbell bench press, your deadlift, your squat. Focus on pull-ups, your rows.
Overhead
presses. Don't go to failure. Stop a couple reps short. Eat whole natural foods. Don't overeat protein, but eat a sufficient amount of protein. And if you really want to take it to the next level, because I just gave you a real bare-bones skeleton, if you really want it kind of mapped out and planned out for you, go to mindpumpmedia.com, enroll in MAPS Anabolic. That's the original MAPS program. And just follow that. We have countless people who are very experienced. We got someone on the forum who's more muscular than if you put me and Adam combined. The dude's yacked. And in the first phase of his program of MAPS Red, he's broken PRs in most of his lifts and gained size. And this is somebody who...
Training for 15, 20 years.
Yeah, he's like in a gain size typically, right?
Yeah.
So it works. And if you want to go even a step further and you want it all planned out, we have a super bundle which gives you 9 months of exercise programming and go through all that. Try that out and see what happens. It'll save you money and your health.
I want to plug one more thing that we haven't talked about in a while is the forum. And I know Doug mentioned that.
We got to raise the price on that.
Well, yeah, he mentioned that the price is going to be going up on it soon. And here's the thing, like...
there's just a lot of people on there now.
Yes, a lot
of activity.
There is a ton of activity. And more importantly, there's a ton of great information and help and guidance. I don't care how old you are, what conditions, what insecurities, what you have going on with you, you name it, there's, it's being discussed on there. Yeah. And I, and it's one of the things that I absolutely love about this thing. It really is an extension of this show with the connection to us.
Right.
So it's an extension of the show where the topics we discuss, we talk about, we get in more depth, more personal with people on the forum. It, we've created this culture of people that are helping each other, and it's one of the most beautiful things. It's the my favorite part of this entire business so far. Everything that we've built and done, I'm proud of our programs, I'm proud of our guides, I'm proud of this show, but I couldn't be more proud of the forum and what it's turned into. And if you're not on there and if you don't have any you know what, and you're wondering maybe I should buy a program, don't even spend the money on that yet. Go spend $47 on the forum and just get your ass on the
forum. Oh, there's lots of free information, yeah. Lots of
don't
coaching.
Buy anything from us. Don't buy anything. Buy that first if you're wondering, like, oh, I was thinking about this or thinking about that. If you're on the fence about something,
yeah,
don't buy any programs. Don't spend the big buck. Go spend $47. Get yourself in the forum and just learn. Just introduce yourself. Say hi. It's my first day. See what happens.
Yeah, tag one of us on there so we know who you are. I'll say this, too. I was just thinking about this the other day. For trainers, for personal trainers, because we have a lot of trainers that are on there. There's a few people who are in the fitness and health industry. Some of them are trainers, some of them aren't. Some of them are researchers, some of them are, you know, work with nutrition. It's a great place to like kind of build your name. Like, right. There's a few people on the forum that are getting tagged now by other people asking questions. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, someone will ask a keto question, and then I forgot what's his name, will get tagged, Dimitri.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll get tagged. Yeah. You'll see people getting tagged now on the forum for other people's questions. And personally, as a trainer, if I was trying to build my business and I was trying to get my name out there and I was trying to introduce myself to people, I'm not promoting like you advertise. You just get on there and help people out. It's a great place to make amazing connections. So
absolutely.
There you go. Listen, if you like Mind Pump, go to iTunes. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. Make it a good review. If you really like it, if it's one of the best ones, you will get a free t-shirt, a free Mind Pump t-shirt. And of course, all the programs and the forum can be found at mindpumpmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.